we're going to be walking through this class, and it's going to be presented as though you are in an actual institute setting or if you are in a Bible college or training session. You hear about missionaries, right, doing institutes to train their people. That's what I'm doing. I'm training you and trying to provide you with helpful information to equip you as a Christian and a believer and a person who's serving the Lord. It's my desire to see all of us people to be people who know how to read the Bible responsibly and accurately, who know how to teach other people how to read the Bible and can teach other people the Bible as well. And so we're going to walk through this class. The fancy word for this class, if you were in a Bible college, would be hermeneutics. I won't probably mention that word today anymore. I'll bring it up in another lesson. But it's a fancy word for how to interpret the Bible, how to read it and understand it. And that's what we're talking about. Today's lesson is called Your Responsibility to Understand the Bible. This is an introductory lesson. Let me mention as we go through the lesson that this lays a groundwork for a lot of the things we're going to talk about. And there will be quizzes. There will be homework even today. So you better pay attention. You could, just to be totally forthright about this, you could decide that you're just not interested in doing that. You're going to treat this like any other thing that I do. You're going to listen and go home. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to pretend I'm paying a lot of money for this, and I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to study. And I hear pastors say it is like pulling teeth to get grown-ups to memorize anything. And they basically concede that, and they just expect the children to do it. How do we expect our children to learn the Bible if we're not willing to subject ourselves to a little bit of work and a little bit of memory? You're probably not too busy to do what I'm going to ask you to do. You will not be writing term papers or anything like that. But there will be some quizzes, there will be some homework and memory, and there'll probably be an exam at the end. Francisco is going to be our course secretary. He'll be doing the grading and reporting to me about attendance. There's no attendance today, but starting next Sunday there will be. So this is very official. Speaking of spiritual gifts, I told him, I said, if you don't like it after the summer, we'll find something else for you to do. If you like it, let me know. Maybe he'll be teaching a class one of these days. You never know. Well, it's unfortunate that we do have misconceptions about Bible study. Sometimes we think that Bible study is something like this. It's no different than understanding the equation for the electron vibration entanglement in the Born-Oppenheimer description of chemical reactions and spectroscopy. Angel, do you know about that? No? If anyone does, you would, maybe. And we think then that the Bible is something really that we can know a little bit about the Romans Road or John 3:16 or the Ten Commandments or something like that. And we know enough to say, well, I have liberty in Christ, so I can do what I want to do. And I need to be a witness sometimes. And we know a few verses that we can pull out when we need them, when they're convenient for us. We can maybe quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when I am in a bind. But to really ask the question, do I know how to read and study the Bible, we do sometimes submit to the idea that's wrong that, well, only really pastors and religious leaders can really understand the Bible. I just am relegated to a few basic things. And that's false. Sometimes I hear that people, this is easy to do, we study the Bible on our own, but really all that is reading a little devotional book of someone who wrote an inspirational talk for women for 1 month. And so we do that for our devotions. And basically we're spoon-fed what someone we don't even know is telling us the Bible says about this little half of a verse that they put at top of the page. That's not studying your Bible. That's basic baby Bible reading is what that is, but it's not really getting into the Word. Sometimes we wrongly believe that the Bible means different things to different people. And so it's whatever it means to you that given day, that's what it means to you. It's very flexible and fluid that way. But when you look at it that way, why even study? Because pretty much all you have to do is open it up, read something, whatever it means to you, it means. And so there's not really any reason why I need to study very hard. These are, of course, very wrong ideas, and I hope to correct them. And today I hope to make a case that you need to understand you have a responsibility to to study the Bible, not just to come and hear me every week give you some things. It's your job before God to study the Bible, to read it, to understand it, and to do some hard work in doing that. And I want to help you not just know you should, but know how to do it. The first thought today that we need to understand is that God communicates to people through the words that he has revealed in Scripture. That is so basic, but do we really believe that? A lot of people do believe that if there is a God out there, if there is a force or a person or something like this out there in the universe beyond, you can't really know him or what he thinks. He's out there, but it's kind of up to you to kind of figure out who this God is and what he thinks and what he's up to, and you can't really know him very well. God, of course, in Psalm 19, we learn he made the worlds, and through the worlds that he made, creation, it's kind of like God's artwork. You go to a museum and you look at art and you say, I wonder what this person meant when they painted this. And you spend a long time asking questions about what did they mean. And that's what creation does. It gets us asking questions like, okay, so who made this tree? And why is the sun this way? And why is this distance between the earth and the sun like? We ask a lot of questions. But creation doesn't answer our questions. It only raises them. And that's part of God's revelation of himself to us. It's him trying to get our attention and say something. And he's saying, I want you to know me. But it is his word, it is what he tells us in the 66 books of the Bible that tells us what we need to know. And if God is God, you'd think you'd want to know what he thinks. If he has taken the effort to reveal himself to us specifically, then why do you even struggle with finding time to study the Bible? Because you have before you what God thinks. And he has communicated to people through the words that he's revealed in Scripture. What a treasure. What a trust we have. He communicated exactly what he wanted us to know. The key word here is exactly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 say, knowing this first, and before this passage, Peter talks about some experiences that he had when he saw Jesus and he saw the divine Jesus shine through on the Mount of Transfiguration and he fell down on his face. He certainly saw Jesus walking on water and do some of these kind of things. But then he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. What he's saying is, that's fine, I had those experiences, but we have something better than seeing that stuff. We have prophecies of Scripture. Then he says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private or personal interpretation. Does the Bible mean what you think privately and what I think, this, what we all? No, it means what God wanted to say. That's what it means. Exactly. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man or men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved means carried along, and literally is a nautical term that means carried along, like sails are pushed along by the unseen wind that blows behind them, pushing that ship where it goes. It's not teaching us that when people wrote the Bible, they were sitting there and all of a sudden their arm just started magically moving. No, what it's telling us is God divinely chose the people with the personalities, the backgrounds, the skills, the vocabulary that he wanted. It's like when you want to draw a picture, you pick up the color, the pencil, the paint that you want at that moment. And God chose certain people as his pens. And when they wrote, he used their very thoughts to end up saying exactly what he wanted to say. He was in that process, intimately involved, and what is said in Scripture is exactly what God wanted you to know. And so you should probably study the Bible trying to figure out exactly what he was saying, not just get vague impressions, right? He also communicated all that we need to know. Not just exactly, but all, completely. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all Scripture, beginning to end, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means God breathed. Right now when I talk, my words are coming out. It's as though God breathed. It is His very words. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you who are serving God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means fully qualified. That word throughly, or in modern English, thoroughly, means being fully furnished and having all the parts that you need. When you buy a house, usually you don't walk into the house and it's fully furnished. You have to go buy appliances and furniture and things like this. But the Bible, when you get saved, you now discover, I have a book that tells me all I need to know, exactly what I need to know, and it's fully furnished, so much so that you are now fully furnished. You have all that you need to live the Christian life, exactly and completely right here. How would you like it if you bought a car, and after you bought the car, the salesman said, oh, by the way, you need to buy an engine for that. You say, what? What did I just buy? When you get saved, you have everything you need to know right there. It's all there. In all of Scripture, you have all that you need to know. Because of that, God expects people to understand what He says in Scripture accurately. And don't you agree with that? If God goes to great lengths, not just to make the universes and to create you and bring you into existence out of nothing, and then He goes to great lengths to give you exactly what He wants you to know and all that you need to know, He does expect you to understand what He says accurately. By giving the Bible, He shows us that He wants us to know what He thinks. Wives, if your husband actually writes you a note, you will read it. You will not ignore that. You are very curious to see what he took the time to write down, because he doesn't always do that in most cases. God gave you a message, and he wants you to understand it exactly. Men, flip it around in a marriage. If your wife writes you a note, she expects you to understand everything that she said. She didn't waste any words. Every word was carefully chosen, and even the subliminal messages were carefully chosen, and you're supposed to get those too. God wants you to know what he says accurately. This is an individual, personal responsibility. It's your job. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a singular word. It's given to an individual. You have the opportunity and obligation to study the word of God. Don't expect me to do all of that for you. It is my job to do a lot of that. You're going to see that. But it's my job to do it so that you learn to do it, not so that you learn how to be more and more amazed by my abilities so you can more and more come and listen. That's not the goal. The goal is to send you out to be able to do this yourself without going to Bible college. You don't have to do that unless God calls you to that. I will help you with that. That's my job. You have this obligation. That word study to show means be diligent. Do this with intense effort and motivation. Work hard. Do your very best. This sounds like an elementary grade school teacher, right? Telling you how to get ready for your end of year exams. That's what God is telling you to do with the Bible that He gave you. He's telling us, He's saying, be diligent, study the Bible with intense effort and motivate. Here's how we do it. Where's my little women's devotional book? Oh, yeah, she's the famous author. She's really good. She always has something cute to say. And you read that little half verse quote up there, and then you read the thing, and that was your devotions. That is not Bible study. Men, you wake up, okay, where am I at? I don't know, I'll just go back to John's always good. I think Pastor preached about that. Yeah, that's good. Hopefully later today, Lord, you'll give me something from that. That's not Bible study. No wonder we struggle with the Christian life because we don't study for it. We expect the teacher to do that once a week on Sunday. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to lead us in worship, but that worship is only going to be meaningful to the degree that I put effort into it and you also have prepared for it by your own time in the Word of God. The word rightly divide is a fascinating word. It means to cut something carefully and precisely. I didn't try to line this up with the message today and the surgical emphasis, medical perspectives. But one way of understanding this word is yes, you don't just take a hatchet and start chopping on someone when you're doing heart surgery and hope it turns out okay. No, you have to have a steady hand and make very precise cuts to do it right. Paul was a tent maker by physical trade. When he wasn't ministering, he was doing that. And just like cutting meat, cutting animal skins is the same thing. He didn't work for Coleman and run a machine that makes polyester tents. He would skin animals. Anyone here ever think about that? That wasn't a crime. He would skin animals. The meat would go to the butcher, the skins would go to the tanner, and he would cut those skins. And he didn't just like cut them up with a little thing from Michael's Fabrics. He had a special knife and things that he would use to cut the leather. That's not easy to do, to cut leather. It's not easy to do. And to cut it precisely, and then to sew it in such a way that you have a very nice, big piece of leather that could be used for a tent covering that people would pay money for. That was hard work. That's what we're supposed to do with the Bible. Is that how you study the Bible? Cut it carefully. Do some work. So we often start with reading if we're doing good, and we go sometimes, if we're really good, from reading to application. There is no fast way to go from reading to how to do this practically in life without that middle part of interpreting. Understanding, okay, so what is this saying? Next Sunday, we're going to start talking about what are the things that make the interpretational bridge between reading and understanding difficult. Bible study is not easy. It's something all of us can do and should do, but it's not automatically easy. It takes work. It takes preparation. And it is worth it. It really is. And it does require more than just praying for understanding. It takes work. A person who prays is willing to follow up those prayers with work, and there is reward for that. At the same time, it is appropriate for others to help you. This is not just something you do on your own. This is a mutual thing. You have a church family. You pay a pastor. You pay Brother Chris as well. We do work. One of the things I do most during the week is study the Bible so that I can present to you accurate lessons like this. This takes a lot of time to put together. And I could do this myself, but then to put it together logically in a way that makes sense so that you understand. That's my job. And you need that. Our children, right? They need what Jim and Alex and others are doing downstairs once a week in frontline ministry. Now, I hope that that's not all that they're getting. Hopefully, they are just coming behind what mom and dad are doing almost every day of the week with their children. But it's a group thing. Other people do need to have input. This isn't just something for you to do all by yourself. I like this passage in Nehemiah 8. I'll just read a few of the verses. It's a good passage to go back at. It says the Levites caused the people, so all of the Israelites are gathered together, and they had one copy of the Bible at that time, and they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. It won't take the time today, but this is what I do on Sundays to help you. We read, and some of you guys helped me with that. We read the Bible. We explain the sense. I explain definitions and meanings of words and what it could mean and that kind of thing. I read distinctly in a way that it's understood, and then I cause you to understand. So what does that mean for us in our situations now? Because obviously this was given by Moses 1,000 years ago, but today here we are, and we're in Ezra's day. So what does this mean for us and causing to understand? And notice the people's response after they did this on this occasion. I like this. All the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions of food to each other and to make great mirth. They had a party. Sometimes we party for the wrong things. Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You ever go home excited because you understand the Bible better? Yes, now I understand that passage. I'm so pumped. That is so exciting. Let's go out to eat. Hey, you want to come over to my house? What? What for? I know it's spontaneous. I had such a good time in the sermon. I would like to talk more about that. Can we get into that passage together? I'm so excited. This has opened up to me now. That's what they were doing. Yeah, man, maybe I'm Pastor Overmiller is going to start a new tradition here. Go home and have a Bible sermon follow-up party at your house. I could probably write a book about that. I don't think one's been written yet, and maybe I could become a popular author, and then you don't have to pay me anymore. I'm kidding. One of you can do that. You also have in the New Testament this example in Acts chapter 8, right, where there's this man. He's a very high-level political official from Ethiopia, and Philip is a preacher, and he's coming through the area, and it says, he went to this man who was in his chariot, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, are you understanding what you are reading? And he said, well, how can I? Except some man should guide me. There are times that we need guidance, but you only know that when you yourself are studying and you say, okay, I have a question. Okay, good. But what happens is people come to church, they don't have any questions because they haven't done anything to raise any questions. They haven't been reading. They haven't been studying. But people who are really into the Word have good and great and advanced questions. And that's when you really are actually yourself, you are studying the Bible by letting me teach you because you have questions. You see how this works. But there is a time for guidance. Now, only those who are regenerate may fully comprehend the meaning of the Bible. The word regenerate means you have new life given to you by God. Someone who is born again, who has been placed in the family of God, who has been saved from their sins, who has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, the same Holy Spirit that gave those words. Only that person can fully comprehend the meaning of the Bible. Why is that? It's because unregenerate people do not receive help from the Holy Spirit, which is necessary for understanding the Bible. This is not just an academic exercise. This is important to understand because it is academic. The words God gave mean what they mean. The definitions are exactly what those words mean. There are not 3D images that pop out from the Bible. There aren't super secret messages underneath the surface that only if you're spiritual will you see. It actually just means exactly what it says. Nothing mystical about the Bible. But you still need, beyond all of that, to be able to understand, you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You still have to have that. Notice what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. The natural man, the man who continues to live exactly the way he was born, he does not have God in him, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they're foolishness. Neither can he know them, personally experience them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see what I just did there? I'm reading this, but what am I doing? I have a hard time just reading a verse. The natural man, I gave you the sense, right? A person who is born. And no, that's gnosko. It means to personally know in a way that you experience. and I'm doing that. Some of you are sitting there, you're already asking what kind of word is the word know, because you've learned there are different words for this. And we all need to grow in those kind of questions. But what I want to focus on here is that word receive. It means to welcome like a guest. And you put out that welcome mat that says welcome, and you open the door and you let them come in. In fact, you want them to come in. You have the table set for them. This attitude is necessary to understand the message of the Bible. A natural man, when he hears the word of God, even if he academically understands it, the Oxfords and Yales of this world, in their Hebrew and Greek and theology departments, are filled with people like this. They academically can tell you a lot of things about the Bible, and a lot of it's true. But when they look at the facts, they don't quite understand why it's relevant, because they don't have this welcoming attitude. They're not wanting to get anything from God. And so if you don't want anything from God, which is our natural perspective, you don't get anything from God. You're studying through the peephole on your door. Oh, what does the Bible say? But you're not about to let anything you discover come in, and so you're not going to understand. The natural man doesn't have the welcome mat out. That's the idea. But if you are saved, you should have the welcome mat out. The Holy Spirit then will guide believers to a proper understanding, but even that is not automatic. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and we have him within us, we've talked about that recently, he will guide you in all truth. He's like the person who will walk you through the museum if you pay an extra amount of money, not just admission to walk around and look at the artwork. We're talking about the guy you pay extra money to walk with your group and say, this is Renoir, and here's what Renoir was doing at that stage in his life. And so we add that to this picture, and this is what he was feeling in those stages of his life. This is what he was expressing in this painting. But if you look over here at this painting, you can tell he has a total mood change, and here's what happened in his life. And then he came out with this painting, and that's what this painting means. Well, you could stand there and not know any of that. This is an interesting painting. Or you could have the guide help you understand. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He provides understanding to the person who knows Christ and has the welcome mat out, who actually wants to learn what God is saying. Fact is, sometimes you discover things in the Bible you didn't want to know, because it means you might have to change your mind. You might have to adjust some aspect of your life. That is an important thing, and the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. But having the Holy Spirit to guide is not even automatic that you're going to understand. You do have to have the right perspective if he's going to participate in helping you understand. You need a reverential mindset. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. We could skim through that. But the word I'm keying in on here is holy. That word holy means something that we should approach with reverence. There was an old kind of an idea that you should never stack anything on top of your Bible. Or a few times, you know, I've set my Bible on the floor and an older person said, you should not do that. Yeah, I probably should not do that. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. God is less interested in what we do with this piece of paper. I personally have thrown Bibles away because they got old and the cover got ripped. Don't tell anyone. It's just a piece of paper. But what God is looking for is that what those words say, we respect with reverence. Now, here's a problem for us. We never really learned how to respect our mother and father. We never really learned how to respect anyone. To respect the word of God, no, that's a nice idea. We don't understand it. What does it mean? Whatever it says, I'm listening. Sometimes we look at the Bible as a curious, interesting book with some inspirational sayings and things that will make my life better. And there's some of that. But we need to respect what it says. Don't study the Bible if you don't intend to follow through with what it says. Reverence and respect. You need a prayerful approach. I love this. You'll hear me mention this. Open, the psalmist says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This doesn't mean apart from the law. In between the lines may things pop out at me, may secret codes come to earth. No, no. Just help me to receive what it says. Open my eyes, because I can look at what it says and still not even see it. It's right there. It's a great prayer. Reverence. Pray. It's always good to pray before you study. I pray before my sermon preps. Lord, help me to understand. Here. It's a very good thing to do. You need an eager, welcoming attitude. Acts 17:11. It says that these people in the city of Berea received the word of God with all readiness of mind. That means readiness means eager. They were very eager. Hopefully today when Brother Metz preached, you were eager to learn something. You weren't sitting there, huh? Hopefully he has some good one-liners today or good story. No, you're there like at a baseball game. Come on, I want to learn something here. I am not fooling around. I want to get something today from this message or from this reading or this time that I'm studying. That's your attitude. You're not asking God to show something to me because I'm not. No, you're looking. And then this idea of received. Do you know what that word means? It's the same word used over in Corinthians. So I'm going to repeat the slide. To welcome like a guest. Paul came into town, a guest preacher, and they welcomed him, but they welcomed what he was saying from the Bible. And then they went home and said, yes, that was great, right? No. You also don't just be respectful and reverential. Don't just pray. Don't just have an eager learning spirit. But you need to practice serious, personal Bible study. These people who were not scribes and Pharisees and rabbis and Bible college students, they were just people who went to the synagogue on the weekend but worked craftsman jobs during the week. They went home. And what does this say? They received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily. Now, they did this on the Lord's Day. But then, on all the other days, what am I doing? I'm going back and giving the sense, right? You see what I'm doing? They searched the scriptures all the other days, whether those things were so. This idea of searching the scriptures, I'm going to pull out a good, huge, massive Greek dictionary, and it explains it well. The word search the scriptures means to try to learn the nature or truth of something by the process of quick study on a Bible app. No, that's not. Go onto YouTube and find a cool. No. Of careful study, evaluation, and judgment to examine carefully, to investigate, to study thoroughly. That's what they did with what Paul said. And they found out that what he was saying was true. They were eager, but then they went home and they just did some more digging and some studies. I do like questions. I get questions during the week. It's died up for the last few months, but I do like questions. Pastor, you said this, and I've been studying on this week or talking to my wife about this. And what is? I can't take 10 of those every day, but one of those every now and then is a good sign. It shows that you're doing something with what you're hearing. And in your own personal study, you should also be intense about this. Set YouTube aside and Bible apps aside and get some real stuff to study. And we're going to talk about that along the way, too. Some good tools, some good approaches. But is this your approach to the Bible? Responsible Bible study, in closing, accomplishes two important purposes. Two important purposes. Letter A, it enables you to be more mature and complete as a Christian. This goes back to the beginning of the lesson. You have exactly everything that God wants you to know to be a complete, mature Christian. Don't wait for my next sermon sometimes. I can only do one of those every Sunday. You have 6 days in between. Do you have any space given to studying of the Bible? I'm thankful for Bible colleges, but that's not the answer. Any of you can do this and are supposed to be doing this. Teenagers, this is not a grown-up. This is a Christian's thing. Josh and Emily are growing, but so this, what I'm saying is this doesn't happen all the time. But in their frontline fair, they both got a Bible and they got markers. And I heard Emily and Josh off on the side of the road saying, oh, yes, now we can do our own personal Bible study. And then one day, I heard them later that week talking about something that was a command. They saw a command in Genesis or something. Did you get the command? I'm like, this is good. It's really good. Like, they just kind of went off and then they started getting into the word. Okay, they don't always do this. But they did that one time. And that was a good thing. This is not something you do when you grow up. Teens, you don't need to just wait for Wednesday for Brother Jose and Chris to answer all life's questions. And please turn YouTube off and go to the Bible and study it. Some of you are studying really hard to pass your tests because you don't want to flunk and you want to get a job. What about you want to live the Christian life successfully and you want to be what God made you to be in the first place? So how do you do that? You study the Bible. You should be very serious about that. And if you're not, I don't know that I should ever counsel you in anything because you're not serious to begin with. I probably will still, but you see what I'm saying? Maybe I should ask, before I give you counseling, are you personally studying the Bible? Because if you're not, you don't care. Serious, personal study of the Word. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. We've talked about that. And letter B, it equips you to be faithful and fruitful in service to others. I really want to be able to trust more and more people in the church with answering other people's questions. Sometimes I'll think, who can answer this question? You know, and I'll think, yeah, I'll probably get some interesting answers if I make this a public thing. I'll probably handle this one myself. And more, I want to be able to say, no, this person's great. This person, not just they have some old tradition that they got taught a long time ago. No, they're fresh. They're in the Word. They can give intelligent biblical answers to things because they care and they study the Word. And that is so, so important. May 28th, which is kindly not next Sunday, it's two Sundays away. Be ready. You've got some homework to do this week. I will give you homework for next week, too, so don't plan 2 weeks for this. Tell me if this is hard. Read at least one time every verse given in parentheses on the sheet. Go back, look at the points, read the verse one more time and see how it makes the connection. Why did he quote this verse for this point? Can you do that? Be able to fill in by memory the blanks given on the sheet. That might be the hardest thing. But I might put some of them on the quiz, see if you can fill them in. That's not too hard, right? Not too hard. Maybe husbands and wives should test your conversations that way. Okay, I just said this. Can you fill in the blank? Be able to explain two things. Acts 17:11 teaches about your approach to the Bible. And be able to explain two purposes for personal Bible study from 2 Timothy 3:17. You'll do really good if you review this today. If you wait till Friday, it's going to be really hard. But the quiz will have something to do with those questions. Next Sunday, we're going to start answering, talking about some of the things that make Bible study necessary and difficult, which will set up some of the things we're going to discuss in detail over the course of the summer. I want you to be less scared with studying the Bible and more empowered to do it.